Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Andy was listening to another radio station and he heard something that he thought was terrible, but I actually thought was quite good. See what you made of it. David Coulthard and Eddie Jordan, F1 legends, they just happened to be in the building and they popped in and spent a bit of time with us, which we enjoyed. And the FA Cup came in, didn't it?
Yeah, that was good to see him.
With Scott Minto, a man that won it back in 1997. So here it all is. Honestly, yeah, have a couple of days off. That seems to make the difference. You've come in quite fresh and read out loud. First time in 20-odd years.
It's not good.
Yeah, 5 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And
yes.
What a Monday night you had at the Bridge. Stress-free.
Wasn't it great? But, I mean, the thing is, only Chelsea can win 6-0 and everything is about something else at the end of the game. I was so angry with those players. Mm. And so was Poch. I felt sorry for him, you know.
Yeah.
Had to deal with all that. You've won 6-0. You've played really well. And all you've got to deal with is that.
The good thing is, though, he took it head on, didn't he? He didn't say it was something nothing. He realised it was a bad look.
It was bad, and he was right. And he said, if they ever do it again, they're out. So the thing is, I was determined to stay to the end of the match.
Because a few listeners did say to me, I bet Andy stayed to the end this time. But what happened?
I got a lot of stick for not staying at the end when I walked in.
And, oh, did you really?
Yeah, of course. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I was with my son, who just arrived back from Japan that morning after a 14-and-a-half-hour flight.
Right.
And so he was a bit tired, you know, and he said to me, oh, let's go. And I really didn't want to go. And then, of course, we did go, and I missed Alfie Gilchrist's goal. I'm so angry at myself.
So in years to come, when he's like a club legend.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll say, remember his first goal in the 6-0 against Everton? You'll have to sit and go, yeah, I do remember. I was there for that. Well,
I stayed the whole of the Brentford game on Saturday, which was a fantastic game. And I'm determined to stay, but, you know, it was dear. So anyway, I missed it.
Well, you saw the bulk of them. There was not a great deal of jeopardy, was there, really?
I was surprised at Everton's tactics. You know, every team that plays a low block against Chelsea has success.
Yeah.
They can't break it down, and they end up giving away a goal because they can't really defend.
Mm.
So, but Everton really went about us. They went after us. And, of course, that is the worst thing you can do against Chelsea. You've got some good players.
Yeah.
Including Cole Palmer. The idea, though, one of the journalists yesterday saying, well, if Cole Palmer wasn't playing for Chelsea, they'd be 16th. What's the point of saying that? He does play for Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, it's like saying, oh, if Lionel Messi wasn't Argentinian, they wouldn't have won the World Cup. Yeah, well, no, they wouldn't.
That's true.
You can't argue with it.
So, Andy, why do we not want to know what the listeners are having for their tea?
Well, I was driving in the car yesterday with Sue, and she's not a massive TalkSport fan, so we had a...
Oh, yes, she is.
Well, you know,
thanks, isn't it?
She doesn't like
sport.
Bite the
hand that feeds. Great, isn't it?
She doesn't like sport, so, you know, what can you do? Yeah. So we were listening to another radio station.
Oh, OK. Well, that'll teach you.
Well, exactly. And the presenter came on and basically said, what are you having for your tea tonight?
Okay.
So, oh God, is that a call subject? Is that the best you've got?
Yeah.
They said, send us a voice note. It's even worse.
Okay.
Well, you know, with your name and where you're from and what you're having for your tea, and then had a 5-minute chat with a travel person about what they were having for their tea.
See, if that's gold for Charlie Baker.
Why?
And Max Rushton. They'd love that. They're like, you know.
If I was in charge of that radio station, I'd be calling in the producer and saying, if that's the best you've got, you can leave. Because seriously, leave early.
Yeah,
it's just nobody cares what anybody has for you. Don't care what I had for dinner last night, do you?
What did you have?
I actually had a very interesting...
it's interesting now, is it?
Me.
Oh, because it's all about you.
No, to me it was interesting, not to anybody else. So
okay. What was it you had then?
It was a sort of chicken cacciatore. I'm quite into making recipes.
I had a chicken cacciatore.
As you do. But nobody cares. I don't care that I had chicken cacciatore.
Well, you clearly
no
one's, do.
No, I don't.
Can't wait to pronounce it again.
Oh, and what dear. A player he was.
Yeah. look, you could be wrong, Andy. This could be gold. I mean, look.
Is there a more banal text topic than that?
No, no, no. Look, that's a very popular strand on a very popular radio station. So, you know, millions of people can't be wrong. What I'd like you to do, Talks, well, let's see. Let's see. We've never asked the TalkSport listeners to do it. Maybe they can make
Please
it interesting.
Please do it on voice notes. It makes it even worse.
Ideally, if we can get a WhatsApp voice note from you this afternoon, just tell us what your name is, where you're from, and what you're planning to have for your tea tonight.
Oh, good. I can't hardly wait.
I hope there's a few chicken cacciatores in there. Yeah. Cacciatore sounds like some sort of Keir Starmer game show.
Yeah, it does.
Very odd thing, isn't it? What's Very in odd. Your chicken cacciatore?
What's it? Well, it's chicken with a kind of tomato and
Don't
pepper.
Don't say chicken in a cacciatore sauce.
No, in a tomato and peppery sauce with a slight hint of spice. It was very nice. But nobody cares. I don't care.
Well, I don't know. I'm
what
quite...
did you have for your tea then?
I got in quite late. I had a sort of sausage casserole.
Well, very nice. And Rufus, what did you have for your dinner last night?
Ravioli. Okay. Yeah, I can see what you mean, Andy. But who knows?
We haven't asked Bex.
We haven't got time.
Oh, okay.
We'll do, maybe they she
pumpkin gnocchi.
What is this place like? Eh? Talk about damn, it really ruins your cred, doesn't it? There's Bob, you know, Bob in Arbroath there. He's up at Scotch Calder in his lorry, and it's all chicken cacciatore and
pumpkin
gnocchi.
Georgia had toast.
Yeah,
well, she'd
had a few glasses of wine. That's why. I mean, she had about 20 rounds of toast. I bet, and a chicken donna. So anyway, where were we?
Well, it's turned out to be quite interesting.
See? It's gold, isn't it? Let's do the 3 hours on it. Tell Scott and Todd Minto not to bother coming in. We're going to basically focus on this for 3 hours.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy was listening to another station the other day. Wash your mouth out, Andy.
Yes.
And it's a very popular show, a very popular station, and they have a little strand saying, what are you having for your tea tonight? Andy said, oh, for goodness sake, is that the best you got? And I thought, well, we've never tried it. It might be gold. This, you know, this show's done very well over the years. Maybe there is something in it. A few of the listeners have said you're wrong about it not being interesting.
Okay.
Kerry in Newcastle says it was always the main topic of conversation in our office. What did you have for your tea last night?
Really?
Now you'll work from home. It's just not the same over a Teams call. By the way, I'm having coriander chicken and couscous. Oh, nice. Get you, Kerry. Very nice. What else? Can I have the recipe for the chicken cacciatore, please? Maybe Andy can send that to you. What else have we got? Adam in South Devon says, chaps, contrary to your lukewarm take on what did you have for your tea last night, I love this section. Maybe every guest you have on moving forward should be asked. It'd be all good if you got Gareth Southgate. Well, Gareth's a good lad. He'd probably tell us. Yeah. But you know what I mean? We're certain people... That probably
I'd quite like to know what Bob Bupka had for his tea.
I'd like Jim to ask Simon.
Pimento
just
sandwich.
Just to look at Simon's face when Jim asked him what he's having for his tea tonight. Yes. Anyway, we did ask you.
I don't think Jim eats. I've never seen him eat.
Haven't you? Well, I think he does. What do you think? He eats like astronaut's food, or he's fed through a tube or something.
I've no idea.
I'm sure he does. I've never seen Jim eat. Well, anyway, do you want him to come in and have a sandwich then?
Yeah,
he may not have gone home yet. All right, I'll ask him. So, on this particular radio station, people were sending in WhatsApp voice notes. I know Andy's a big fan of those.
I love them.
So, we thought we'd ask you because we don't know. This could be the difference. This could be massive for our radars, this section. So, Warren the Bolton fan.
Okay.
He got in touch. Warren.
Today, we're having chippy tea. I'll be having Babby's Head, chips, peas and gravy, and a couple of slices of Warby's bread. Jackpots.
Oh, that does sound, yeah, I'm coming
see,
round,
that was
Warren.
Very authentic.
I'm
like
coming
that.
Round.
That was a really
fantastic,
good
fantastic, yeah.
Voice.
Neil the Villa fan. Thank you for that, Warren. Neil the Villa fan, let's find out what he's having for his tea, shall we?
I'm Neil the Villa fan. Tonight I'm mostly having pie and mash, garden peas.
Pie they mentioned garden peas?
Slightly unhinged.
Go for petit pois. Garden peas slightly are like bullets, aren't
slightly
they?
Unhinged there. Yes. God. Shall we have one more?
Oh, please.
Okay, hopefully she'll introduce herself. Here we go.
Tonight I'm having double pie, mash and liquor, nice splash of chilli vinegar and white pepper. Then probably going to ruin me night by watching the Arsenal. But that's another story. Keep it up, lads. Cheers.
They get the indigestion, man. It was Kerry. It was
overly,
a male Kerry.
Overly spicy, I would say.
Kerry, the Arsenal fan, off down the pie mash shop. Fantastic. Yes,
yes. Well, there we go. No chicken cacciatore, surprisingly.
No. Tahir, the Arsenal fan's been in touch. It's my birthday today, so I'm treating myself to a Chinese, he says. Not special or remarkable, but it is my birthday, and I want to shout about it. Well, happy birthday to you. Enjoy the game tonight. You can hear it on Talk Sport from 7. All the build-up, kick-off at 8. We talked to Ian Stone over in Munich earlier on, and we are going to have a bit of a City chat later on, ahead of their game against Real Madrid. Yeah, I'm going to do what I did last week. I mean, it's not ideal, but I have the...
I can't have the, dealing with it. You
know, the Goons, Bayern Munich on the telly, and I'm afraid it is City, Real Madrid on the iPad. I've got no choice. I've got kind of half keeping an eye on
them. You end up not watching either.
No, you do.
I go for the more selective.
I've got the sound
state of the match.
Well, yeah. I mean, if
like, for example, if I'd start with City, and if they go 1-0 up, yeah, I might switch to the other game if it's still like tied, you know, still drawing.
Okay.
And then if Bayern or Arsenal,
I'm not ruling out putting another game on the telly. If Arsenal were to go 4-0 up after 10 minutes, I couldn't put myself through that. So I would. I'll then get City on the telly and Arsenal go on the iPad. But you need some flexibility. Ideally, listen to them on Talksport. Although you can't listen to them both. That would mess with your head. I've just dropped everything. Anyway, Todd Minto's in later on. He's had his name changed by Depot in the last 2 hours. No, Scott's going to be with us, and he's bringing in the FA Cup. He won it back in 1997 for Chelsea against Borough.
He should bring in the French FA Cup, really, the way it is here today.
Yes, we're having a very French-themed... They're having a little do. A soiree, I think we can call it, in light of the fact it's quite French, whatever the French for soiree is. And they're having a little do outside. Yeah. They've gone a bit Route 1. Culturally, listening at one point, they've got a little music playlist going on. At one point, in the distance, we could hear the theme from A Lower Low. So, I think we may not be able to get through French customs.
I wondered why Alan was still here. I can just see a load of bottles of wine there.
Oh, is he stuck around? Did he? That's right. He's sitting in the corner going, wine. Anyway, he may pop in. When he may be working in the office, he may pop in. Who knows? Which could be quite lethal after a bottle of wine. We'll see.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
One of the joys here at TalkSport is occasionally top names from the world of sport just sort of pop in.
Yes, nice.
There was a reason for it, as they're going to explain, but from the world of Formula One is it's David Coulthard and Eddie Jordan. Guys, good to see you. We weren't expecting this
today.
Here,
guys. Yeah.
You were in the building to your Formula for Success podcast, chatting to Big Alan Brazil today, David.
Yeah, well, look, I'm really happy you've asked me a question, because normally I can't get a word in edgeways for EJ. When we've been doing this podcast now, we've done over 60 of them. We're normally running about an hour in time, and that's like 60-odd hours of my life I'll never get back. But I've got to say, I thoroughly enjoyed sitting, listening to Eddie and Alan sharing stories, not only about football, which is a great passion of EJ, of Eddie sitting here beside me, but of horse racing as well. And, you know, two things I don't really know a great deal about. I've never been to a horse race, and I've only been to a few football matches in my time, because I was from the southwest of Scotland. A local team was Queen of the South.
Right.
So, you know, they weren't, let's say, a brilliant team in Dumfries terms, but not in international terms.
The interest in Formula One is massive at the moment. We talk about Drive to Survive and things like that, but I don't think it's ever been higher, even though the actual race for the championship, not that close.
No, it's not. And some people, if you're not a Red Bull fan, go, this is not good for the sport, one team dominating. But if you look through the history of sport, there's always a period where one football team dominates for a while, or one boxer or whatever. And if it's your favourite team and your favourite boxer or your favourite Formula One team, you don't mind. But nothing lasts forever in sport, as we know, and there will be a change. Right now it's Max Verstappen, Red Bull, but Mercedes are working hard, Ferrari are working hard, they've signed Lewis Hamilton.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, that's right. We'll come back to the F1. But Eddie, I wonder over the years, have you been Brazil'd or have you Brazil'd Brazil?
Oh, no, he is a nightmare. I mean, I took out special insurance coming here today because I thought I had to make up a hospital appointment to get away from him because we relayed something. I remember going to, because his passion is, of course, not just football, but horse racing, and Cheltenham is every Irish person's passion. And I'd arranged to meet him at 11 o'clock before, long before the first race, and in a certain place, obviously the Guinness Bar. And I saw this table, and it was a magnificent sight. It was full 12, 20 pints all.
Because everybody buys him a pint, don't they?
Well, I think I didn't buy him one, that's for sure.
Eddie never buys anyone a drink.
Because Formula One people don't spend money, don't mind. They're like Coulthard, they hoard it. And but anyway, I asked him, had he got a whole group of people coming? He said, no, that's they're for us. And so, I mean, he is a savage, but when it comes to it, but he has such stories. They were fantastic. We talked about people like Strachan and all of the players that he's played with, and you know, Brian Robson. We had to get on to Roy Keane at one stage, which didn't go down very well. I think he moved away from that very quickly.
Right.
His stories were legendary, and I was in total awe, because sometimes you've had me on here doing the Grand Prix after on the Monday morning, and these guys are still travelling, and I'm usually around. If I'm here, I do it with you. And I have to say that having Alan Brazil and McCoyston, all of the stories that they've got, it's fantastic. And as David said to him, he said, look, you need to do, there's a Drive to Survive thing already, that you would have your story on Netflix. I mean, it would make an amazing story.
Drink to Survive. I mean, that's what he does. I mean, if he stops, that'll be the end of him.
Popular. Eddie, you're a regular at Chelsea. I've seen you many times walking down Fulham Road. I know you live in the area. And it's been an interesting season, isn't it?
Well, I'm actually, you know, when I first came from Ireland, I was based at Silverstone, and so Chelsea were not my first team, because my first team was Coventry, and I wished them well for the weekend, my God, against Man United in the semi-final of the Cup. That'll be heady days for them. And that's how I asked Strachan to go to Celtic as manager. It was as a result of that, because he went from there to Southampton. So I didn't take him from Coventry. He'd already left for Southampton. But he then went and had a stellar performance at Celtic. And that's what Alan and I were talking about, all of those great names that he knew. And, of course, Liverpool, Man United. And I grew up in that era, and you know, David was always a motor racing guy, but coming from Ireland, and I started racing very late in my life, so football was all around you and you just had to have it.
Yeah. So David, we return to Formula One, and Ferrari going pretty well, you know, behind Red Bull at the moment. As you said, with Lewis going there, maybe the timing from Lewis's point of view could be right. Is it the signs are that they're getting the car right at the right time for him?
Well, he made the decision to leave McLaren, and actually Eddie, to massage his shoulders, the visionary that he is, he predicted that he would leave McLaren to join Mercedes at a time when Mercedes were not winning, but it coincided with the growth and then the dominance of that team. So maybe he's done it again. Maybe he's seen the future, because the sport changes a lot in 2026. The big regulation change on the engines and also the chassis, and he's clearly lost his belief in the Mercedes system, and he's heading off to Ferrari. And I never imagined it would ever happen, because he's been with Mercedes since he was 12 years old in karting, can you believe? But it just goes to show that there's no loyalty in sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Well, and there's other issues as well. I think I think personally, we talked about it last year. I think he lost his mojo. I think Russell was very strong and was a very serious competitor to him. So I didn't see it as a big problem, and I think, to be very honest, it will be a very good decision by Lewis in time. Time will tell us that he did well.
There's going to be a lot of eyes on Shanghai, Eddie, this weekend, because to have a successful Chinese Grand Prix with big crowds, and they think post Drive to Survive the interest is going to be up. I mean, how important do you see it for the sport to have a big, because you know, if you can get a sport popular in China, it's a big market deal.
Well, we were very fortunate because I went there first. The Chinese people, I was sponsored by their national television station. So they can get into it and they want to get into it. And they've certainly got the, you know, that track was built in a matter of months. You know, if they put their mind to build a new hospital, which they did, I think, during COVID, and it went up in days because they just swamp people on it night and day. They have a different philosophy and an outlook on life. And it's not better. And it's not worse, it's just different. And I have to say, I like the track. I think they have grandstands everywhere. I think if they do fill it, it'll be a monster crowd. And I've every expectation that, you know, it's the first time we're going back there. Is it 4 years or 5 years or something?
Five years.
And I would expect that it will be pumped up and promoted to such a very high level that we expect a place to be full. And Formula One is filling everywhere at the moment. Yeah. I mean, we saw last race, or reasonably last race, was Japan, and before that Australia. You know, almost half a billion people turned up in Australia. Just heady days, what? And with the price of the tickets, just mad.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, if it is successful this time, David, yeah, I'm going to imagine they've got to then find room in the schedule to make it happen again, because it's getting busier all the time.
It is, yeah. 24 Grand Prix. When I started in Formula 1, there were 15 a year, but then we were testing all the time. There was test teams, so we were kept plenty busy. I just have to come back to, only an Irishman could turn a crowd of 400 over 4 days into half a billion. 400,000 into half a billion.
You've done my a bit of rounding up. But I think you... basically, know what I was talking about.
I got your point. I got a bit of emphasis on. Yeah.
Thanks for showing me up yet again, David. Thank you.
So, isn't there more people that are actually in Australia?
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Never mind. You're off to Washington, we understand. You're going to be driving an F1 car once again.
I am. I'm going up and down Constitution Avenue, and I'm saying that like I actually know where Constitution Avenue is, but apparently it's close to all the major capital sites, the Capitol building. So I'll be out going up and round in circles on Saturday. So I head out there tomorrow, entertain the Washington DC crowd. So it's DC and DC, which kind of tickles me. And then I'll be back in time to head to Monaco for the Formula E race, which is in Monaco next weekend. We've got three race events. This is how big motorsport is now. We've got the Monaco E-Prix, then we've got the Monaco Historic Grand Prix, which is fantastic for the purists. If you love the James Hunt cars or the Fangio cars or, you know, the race cars from the previous era. And then, of course, the Formula One Grand Prix as well. So three races in Monaco. Whoever would have thought? There only ever used to be one.
Wow.
We once had a race we were staying in Nice. And we had a race to your old hotel in Monaco.
Yes,
the Columbus.
He's got a thing about helicopters. And we raced to get there. Of course, our helicopter was held up at Nice Airport, and Andy won on the train.
I got there first.
Very scenic route.
I can't believe it. It's only 7 minutes in the helicopter.
I know, but they delayed us for half an hour.
It's a beautiful train journey as well.
Lovely, right train along fabulous. The coast. Yeah.
Trains in southern France are amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone goes by train. Yeah,
it's only a 90-minute flight from London. It's very accessible. South of France, isn't it?
Just finally, how would you have felt about driving in the Drive to Survive era? I mean, how would you have felt about having cameras follow you around everywhere in the heat of battle, as these guys do?
Yeah, I think this young generation, they're so used to social media and engaging with their fans directly. My era was a press release. You know, it was literally you gave a quote to your press officer, they typed it up, they took it to the press room, and then that's what was fed down the wire. So it was a different era. I loved the era I raced, and I suspect a lot of people that have in any sport, whether it's Alan Brazil in his football era I'm sure Max Verstappen loves his era right now. But that said, he doesn't really engage with Drive to Survive.
No.
He doesn't really feel that he wants that social recognition, but acknowledges it's part of his modern contract. So I guess it's all horses for courses. Yeah. No complaints on my side of my time. I probably was best not being on the Drive to Survive era. That said, I think EJ would have been a star.
I was just going to say, you would have loved it, wouldn't you?
I would have hated
it. Oh, man, you love the spotlight.
So, TalkSport has a new admission here insofar as I have never watched 1 minute of Drive to Survive.
Oh, really?
I can't do it. It's the same as, you know, if for example, we had a race, I can't rewatch it.
And even when you won Grand Prix?
I've seen clips, but only because it turns on when it's on, and it's part of my promotion when I'm doing
really?
A chatter
show. Really? Is your nose getting longer, Pinocchio? You've never watched
Jordan's first... My nose is large enough. You don't have to worry. You need to worry about your own.
Okay.
The fact is that some people... David has a shrine up in Scotland. He has all the cars he's driven and he has all the trophies that he's won. You know, the funny thing is the team own the trophies, so he gets a replica made. So I couldn't possibly do that. I do
he
not
sells
have,
them all.
I, that's not true, but I have given almost everything away, and mainly for charity. And because
he now hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's in charity.
You've got no way back.
No, but the thing is, some people really think it's important for their kids, and it's, if you like, it's folklore, but it's also a statement, isn't it? And I admire what David has done because it takes a lot of time, and I think his sister used to look after it. I don't know who's looking after it now, but the fact is that that's very important.
Yeah.
However, it wasn't important for me, partly because my wife was absolutely dead against it, because she was an international basketball player, and then obviously pretty much top of the game at golf as well. So there was lots of different trophies around the place, but no one ever brought them home.
Right.
And her attitude was, four kids, your work finishes when you leave the office, don't bring it home. And that's honestly a philosophy that we've had all the time, and it works for me. But I can clearly understand if David's situation is different. He drove those cars, whereas they were my cars, or we, Gary Anderson and I, we designed them or created them or whatever we did with them. I feel that I could have them in my possession,
sure,
but I've chosen not to.
I never considered it work. I always thought it was a hobby,
being a
racing driver. I thought it was amazing when someone said they were going to pay me to drive, because I've been doing it since I was a kid in karting.
Yeah.
So the whole concept of it being work, so maybe that's why I've taken things home.
When will Big Alan's podcast be available, guys, to listen to, you think?
Very good question. I'm going to say probably 3 weeks from now, because we already recorded this week's, actually, was it yesterday or the day before? I can't even remember now. Eddie seems to be ever present in my life.
You can't get rid of me. And this is the first time we've actually seen each other in several months.
Oh, okay.
Because we do it, as he reminds everyone, it's done virtually. Alan was worth the trip for both of us to come here.
Sounds
I mean,
good.
He is a character. And I have to say, you know, you talk about motor racing, names like Senna and Schumacher come to mind. When you talk about talk sport, I'm sorry to tell you guys, but Alan Brazil comes in front of you guys.
He's the man. Yeah, he's in pole position.
You're not telling us anything we didn't know.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to think about your ego, you know.
We know our place.
I would never say such a thing.
Yeah. We're used to it with Eddie.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
An FA Cup semi-finals weekend is almost upon us. And with that in mind, the good people of the FA have brought the trophy in for us, along with the previous winner of the trophy back in 1997.
Why don't they just send it straight to the Etihad? Get it over with.
Come on, Andy. That's any of the Chelsea boys going home from training, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear a fan confident.
Oh, yes, very confident.
Scott Minto, Chelsea, wing-back that day.
Yeah, apologies, Todd couldn't make it today.
Yes, that's a shame. He's Scott's a lovely lad, that. Todd. I've always preferred him to you, actually.
Most people say that.
But I've heard you say, and I've read you say, it was the greatest day of your career. I mean, to take us back, what was it like to win it?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, do you want the short story? Do you want the long story? I'll go somewhere in between. You know, I, like you really, grew up with the FA Cup being the biggest day of the football season. Obviously, the league winners would suggest who's the best team, but the FA Cup was the big day. Mm. So even though I was fortunate enough to be part of a team to win it in the 90s, growing up in the 70s and 80s is the reason why the FA Cup is still very, very special to me, more so than actually winning it. But it does look impressive, doesn't it, in between you two. Yeah. So in terms of the, you know, the actual season where we did win it, Rude came in. He was player manager, but was manager for most of the time. He had this saying, he used to love Windsor Davis and the programme, It Ain't Our Fault, Mum. So he would come in every single day and he'd say, hello, lovely boys, let's have some fun. Honestly, it's exactly what it was like. And, you know, he coined the phrase sexy football, and it's not for us to suggest it was or it wasn't, but we had fun that year. And we were 2-0 down at half-time against Liverpool, came back to win 4-2. The very next round, Leicester, you'll remember as well, Andy. Yeah. I don't know if it was 0-0 or 1-1 at Filbert Street. Absolutely. And then it was, again, it was drawing in the second game. We went into extra time. We're literally minutes away from penalties. And I'm thinking, oh no, I've got to take a penalty. You know, and Erling Jonsson, who you'll remember, was one of the hardest people as well as footballers. I mean, you know, he was your typical Norwegian, you know, tree chopper, and he didn't need an axe to do it either. He went down like a sack of spuds. I saw Matty Elliott a couple of weeks ago, actually. He talked about it, and he's still not bitter, but he was joking about it. He went down. Frank Leboeuf stepped up. He's a bit like Cole Palmer, doesn't miss a penalty. Yeah. And just, I think from then on, I'm not really a superstitious person or player, but we thought, this is ours.
Yeah.
And you know, Robbie scored after 43 seconds, I think it was, in the final. You know, a lot of people probably hadn't even taken their seats.
I was there for that one. I hadn't gone.
Yeah, yeah, you did, you, unless you stayed.
I hadn't left early.
Oh, you hadn't left early.
You didn't leave before the end, before Eddie got there. I tell you what, you know, it was almost too comfortable for us that day. We actually felt really good going into it. Rude was very clever in terms of just trying to treat it as another game. We didn't stay in the hotel in London until the night before the game, so we treated it a bit like an away match, but it wasn't like being around Wembley for 3 or 4 days and the build-up and you're getting bored and pent-up mental frustration. And I do remember the day before the game as well, we practiced free kicks. So Rude said, Franco, you, and Scott, you know, you two will be on free kicks. And I mean, look, we could have had 100 free kicks and I still wouldn't have taken one. But it was nice that you thought I was
the other side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was a great thing.
I remember the Liverpool game. It was my late father-in-law's favourite game ever. It was a brilliant game, a brilliant turnaround.
Gianluca came on. Luca was amazing man as well as amazing player. But of course, then again, you'll remember, Andy, 3-2 didn't work. So Luca was the one on the bench. You had Mark Hughes and Franco. Who Franco was our best player, and you know there was a thing between those two with Rude and Luca, because Luca obviously was brought over by Rude, but Rude was like, well, you know, we've only got two spaces up front. Nowadays, I don't know what they'd do. I mean, Franco would play as a number 10.
He was smoking Luca on the bench at Tottenham because he wasn't happy
Didn't he do that in a World Cup game in Italia 90 as well?
Yeah,
amazing. Yeah.
No, it was the start, really, of the modern Chelsea era, because they hadn't won anything since 1970. So yeah. I know Abramovich boosted it massively, but from that point on, they were a team to be reckoned
with. I suppose it
with.
Feeds in that narrative of getting that one trophy, getting that over the line for a team, then sort of we get more trophies.
Well, I think it starts with Glenn Hoddle. You know, when he came in, he brought in the likes of Rude and Dan Brotrescu and Mark Hughes. And then Rude obviously brought in Robbie Di Matteo, Frank Leboeuf and Gianfranco as well. And, you know, we had a great team. And, you know, you'd even pay to watch the training because it was very, very good at the time. And
you
absolutely
could go and watch the training. He was down you at could. Harlington. I used to go a lot. It was fascinating.
I cannot believe that we trained at Harlington.
I know.
I mean, the most open place. Terrible. With planes flying over and balls just getting caught in the wind. I mean, certainly taught us to play on the ground.
You have to clear out so the college team could come and play in the afternoon.
Well, on Wednesday, they had rights to it. So if we, normally we'd have a Wednesday off, but if we weren't in the Wednesday, we had to go and get changed somewhere else because the university people had the rights to the dressing room.
Yeah,
crazy.
different times now, of course, for the club. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the guys have brought it in from the FA and they've said, ideally, don't touch it because you don't need... But when you consider what happens to it, I mean, you lot were all throwing it around the pitch, chucking it to each other. Yeah. In that moment, no one's really caring about that.
Well, the security guard, bless him, they're trying the hardest right now and they can do what they want, but they've got no power once it's on the pitch. And the winners are holding it. You know, can't run on the pitch.
And it's so, in the dressing room and in the bath.
This is the fifth one,
champagne.
Apparently, he was telling me. I thought it was the third one, but it's the fifth one.
Why is he probably ruined two of those?
Yeah. Did anyone drop it? Could you remember?
No, I don't think. Not in 97, but why is he? Didn't he drop it in was it in 2000? I'm not sure. But no, I think we held on to it. We were still pretty sober.
No one knows what to do with the base, do they? No one wants to be left with a base. You've got to carry that. It's quite heavy and you could do without
it. True.
Do you know what? I still can't, not that I really look, but I can't find a picture of myself holding the cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it must be out there.
If anybody's got one of those, please let us
know. Loads of me wearing a really silly top hat, but none of me actually holding the cup.
Well, I tell you what, a number of the photographic agencies that would have been there, they would have been snapping away. So if anybody
didn't
is listening...
Didn't the cup get passed along?
Yeah.
Let's hope...
So this weekend will be interesting. It's a great weekend. I mean...
We've
got used to the semi-finals at Wembley now. Traditionalists don't like it. I don't particularly like it. I think Wembley,
I don't like it.
Wembley should have been saved for the final, but we all know the reasons behind it, and we've all got used to it now. And so, you know, it allows a lot of fans to go to Wembley, which they can't for the final.
5:15 kick-off, the first game on Saturday.
It's not even about the fans, is it? It's about the money.
Yeah,
well, I know for, it is. For the FA. I was trying to put a positive.
It's very, very nice of you. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Know. It does take the sheen off the fact that the final is at Wembley as well. But we'll come on to the game Sunday, of course. We talk about the magic of the FA Cup, and with Coventry this time,
they've got a chance.
We've kind of got
game.
It, and the Mark Robin story, and Manchester United and his role at that club.
And I played with him at Rotherham.
Oh, okay,
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he would become a manager. I'll be honest with you. You know, really quiet. A very dry sense of humour. Some may say dour. I wouldn't say that. but you know what? He's been fantastic.
I
mean,
he
has been sensational in that job. And I think the only reason he's not, with respect to Coventry, I don't want to use the word bigger or better, but obviously they've had their problems. And they're still fighting for the playoffs, of course. Mm. Even though I think they've just fallen away now.
They've sold players as well.
They sold two key players, and I think the fact they're still even in with the shout. Not just, I mean, the FA Cup is one thing, but, you know, the fact that they're still in with a shout at the playoffs, I think, is testament to him. But what he's done over the last few seasons on and off the pitch to get them into this position, I think, has been sensational.
And you talk about the semi-final, but it's a great day out for the Coventry fans. Yeah. They may not get to the final. So, you know, it's an opportunity for them.
No. And a little thing about Coventry as well, as a little link, when they won the FA Cup in 87, the youth team beat Charlton youth team just 4 days, 5 days before. I was a schoolboy at the time, 15, and played in that game, and we lost in extra time as well. So look, from that type of point of view, you'd love Coventry to get there, but and look, they have got good players. United are not in a good place, but they seem to
their best
sort of
chance
find
if they
a way.
Play City in the final. They both wear the same kits, the sky blue.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully, he's one of the City players.
Chelsea.
Pass
I mean, I'm being facetious. Chelsea have got a chance in this game. They've matched up with City this year. I mean,
they've been good games, haven't they?
4-4 was one of the best games I've seen ever.
Yeah,
for years and years and years. And the 1-1 was a terrific game. So, you know, they've got a chance, and they do better Chelsea against. We saw on Monday night. Yeah. If you go after Chelsea, that's what they want. Yeah. They'll play through the press.
And I think. I mean, I've gone on record by saying that I think City are one of the best teams in the history of club football. I think
agree.
Pep Guardiola is one of the best managers in the history of club football. I think what he's done for them to be, I mean, the double treble is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that they're on it, but even going for four straight Premier League titles. You know, I obviously was not fortunate enough to win one, but I still understand not just the physicality, but the mentality you need to go again and again and again on a weekly, monthly basis. It's not.
Because you see what Chelsea have done with all that money.
Absolutely.
There's been plenty of clubs in history who spent lots of money but not built a squad like that.
He plays football in its purest form. Mm. And you need top players to be able to do that. Could he do that in the lower divisions? Well, maybe not. But that doesn't make him mean he's not the most complete manager. What he's done from country to country to country, he's improved teams. Even Karl-Heinz Rummenigge said about Bayern Munich, and he took over after the treble, didn't he? Yeah. He said he improved this side. And Philipp Lahm said, I ain't being a manager. I've seen what Pep does, and I can't do what he does. You know,
Arteta.
Absolutely, and he's a disciple of Pep. And I just look at, you know, I covered Spanish football for 4 years, and I was gutted when Pep left after one, because that team in 2011, where they won the treble and gave a very, very good Manchester United team the runaround.
Yeah,
I think everything's subjective. That's the best team I've ever seen.
They were lucky in 2010, though, and it was very funny last night to see Chelsea fans quite enjoying the referee turn on Barcelona and get a taste
maybe
of their own medicine.
Maybe so, but accusations have been aimed at him in the past, Pep, that he's always had Messi. Well, he's created a Barcelona without Messi now in Manchester City.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I don't know what I'm having for my tea tonight. I haven't really thought about it. What about you? Do you know?
Well, I'm having chicken ketchup.
You're having it again?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey. How much did you make? Well, you do a big batch, did you?
I always do like enough for 2 days, yeah.
Oh, okay. Don't you get a bit bored? Well, you have a day off? Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. See, it is interesting. I'm back with Charlie tomorrow. I hope you can join us then.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.